Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. Welcome to the UR Tennis Network, where you'll find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. I think we'll have a special show today. I hope so, because there's a couple items that are close to my heart, and I think the conversation should be very, very good. Hopefully you're enjoying all of the shows on the UR 10 Network. Those of you that tune in, I'm sure you know about Coach Chuck Reese's show in his American Tennis. Those new coaches, I especially recommend you listen to the instructional series. As a matter of fact, last Wednesday's show, which I didn't listen to this past Tuesday night, actually, and I posted on our FHS-TCA website, I think it's a show that's not only good for coaches, but also good for your players. And I suggested to our high school coaches, you have a rainy day or something, bring the whole team in and let them listen to Coach Greasy. He says the same things that a lot of us said that have been coaching for years and years and years, but nobody says it better than him. And, of course, you should be listening to Jason Haynes bringing us the American College Experience. Jason is also the founder of the UR10 Network. We have multiple shows on the network. Tune in and find out a show that you can enjoy and spread the word to your tennis fans. This is a great way to be able to keep up with tennis. This is a special time of year. In tennis, we are right in the middle of districts and right now, and we'll be going to our regional play in Florida, and in a couple of weeks we'll be into our state championship, and of course on April 23rd we will have our high school all-star team in Winter Park Tennis place in Winter Park, Florida. And we try to send our high school seniors off to college with some good memories. This will be our fifth year of running the tournament. It's a great event. As a matter of fact, I opened up the mail today. I had just received a check from $150 from the Sebastian River High School team. Tennis team, and they nominated all their seniors for the tournament. And this will be the fifth year that they've done it. None of those seniors have been able to go up to Winter Park yet. Maybe this year some of those six people will be able to make the trip and be chosen to go. But if chosen or not, they're part of the All-Star team. And they know that their high school appreciates them. They receive a certificate from us. They know that we appreciate them, and they're part of the All-Star team, even if they're not the ones that are chosen to go up there. So nominate your high school senior for the All-Star team. It's a $25 nomination fee. That's what helps keep our organization alive and doing the things that we do. And if they are chosen to go, it's really special. Wilson will again be providing goodies for all the players, and the coaches there will be using the Wilson balls, and those Wilson goodies will be in backpacks that Dean Street Insurance will be providing for all the players and coach. And you know that it's going to be a sharp looking group of people because Team Connection will be supplying the uniforms for the players. And Team Connection, of course, is our FHSTCA clothier. A great place to get the team uniforms. Those of you this year, remember that look at your team. Your team should be trying to earn points for the Team Connection Challenge. And they will again be providing one team in Florida free uniforms. This year's Sebring High School won the award. You can go to our website, www.fhstca.org, and you can see how this year's team can be earning points for next year's team to get free uniforms. After all, we all stand on the shoulders of somebody else, and we should be playing it forward, and we appreciate what they do. We appreciate Wilson. They'll be presenting the four Coach of the Year awards again this year in the FHSAA 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A regions. And this year we'll have our first two inductees into the FHSTCA Hall of Fame, and Wilson will be presenting those plaques to those individuals too. So it's an exciting time coming up. The Dean Street Insurance, which will be providing the backpacks for the players, also presents our Community Service Award each year. And I've talked about it many times. Without a community, there is no really good tennis program. Tennis programs are not dependent on just players and a coach and an athletic director if they're going to be programmed for a lengthy period of time. And Dean Street Insurance presents a Community Service Award. So if you have somebody in your community that supports your high school, nominate them, please. And if you don't have a Dean Street in your community, go to www.deanstreetinsurance and find them. Florida Tennis Magazine been a big part of trying to awaken that sleeping giant called high school tennis in Florida. Their April, May issue is now out. And, of course, they've added a section in their high school tennis rewind where we talk about teams from the nation, teams like from Illinois, where our guests are from today, Oregon, who is starting their own high school tennis coaches association, North Carolina, North California and South California. California is broken up into two sections, Texas, the Missouri Conference. Don't forget to nominate your school as National High School Coach of the Year. Scott Inge of Kansas picks the top 25 high school teams in the nation. So nominate your team. Help them out with coming out with who's going to be those top 25. Today, I said, I think we have an exciting show because we have the head men's and women tennis coach, Tom Rees, from University of Illinois, Springfield. And we also have, I'm sure I'm going to butcher his last name, Coach Dominic Giacomini, I think it is. should know. He's actually has children in the Florida area near where I live, and he was the former coach at University of Illinois, University of Illinois Springfield. And the exciting thing that the reason that they are on the show today is I think they're doing something that is really pretty unique. Let me see if I see one of them is here. Let me, Dominic, are you there?
Yes, John, I'm here.
John, how are you?
Here along with Coach Tom Reeves.
Oh, so both of you are there on the same line then?
Right.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, I was just starting to tell the audience a little something about the two of you. I have the audience knows that 10 and under tennis has a special place in my heart. I kid with the parents sometimes that my wife runs the District 15 NJTL program in the community where we live, and she makes sure that I don't schedule any trips and doing any training any parts of the country during her programs because I can't afford a divorce. But the truth is the matter, I love working with those kids as much as she does, and I think it's a special place for our high school players to go back and get something back to the community. And if you're in a place like ours where you don't have a big tennis community, it's a great way many of the players that came from the high school where I just retired from coaching came out of her 10 and under program before it was called 10 and under. There was an ITF red, white, and green, as I'm sure, a play and stay program, and she's been doing it for some 20 years. But what excited me is that I understand evidently your influence at the University of Illinois Springfield has been for a couple ways. You have an exciting young coach in Tom Reeves that I'd like to sit there and talk about, but trying to sit there and get the college students involved in the 10 and under program, I think is phenomenal. So I'd like to talk about both things, but can we talk to Tom first and maybe tell us something about his team at the University of Illinois Springfield?
Certainly. Well, first of all, thanks for having us on the show, Coach Denise. It's a great opportunity for us to chat with you guys and share with the tennis community about what we're doing up here in the capital city of Illinois. Like you mentioned, I'm the head men's and women's coach at UIS, and Coach Dom right here is the former head men's and women's coach and actually is a Hall of Famer at UIS for all of his achievements there. We as a college program are NCAA Division II, and we're trying to build a lot of exciting momentum. Our goal every year is twofold. First and foremost, we're trying to produce and graduate quality humans that are ready to go into their community, wherever that is, and we have players from all over the world, and make a positive and lasting impact. And on, you know, and that 10 and under program is part of that, which we'll get to in a little bit. On the court, you know, the real business is trying to make our program contenders for the NCAA tournament, getting that national tournament berth every year, which would be a real testament to the kids that we have in this program that are here with me trying to build it. Historically, it was a very, very successful program in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s at the NAIA level, and we're really trying to bring back some of that success at the Division II level.
Well, I think that's very important because too often I hear about Division I play, and I think too many high school players, and unfortunately, many teaching pros and coaches don't understand all the play out there, and that some of the play in Division II is equal to much play in Division I, and there's opportunity. I'm especially excited now. I see where the USTA launches their collegiate series, and they're going to be running 10 tournaments near college campuses, and I think that should be exciting. Because it gives the people you talked about that maybe have a chance to go someplace else, they have a chance to earn, some money with those $25,000 men's futures. And that program, which is going to be starting on June 6th, I think is going to help you. Do you agree with me or no?
Absolutely. We try and recruit kids that are at the highest possible level, and that's definitely one of the stereotypes that we have to get past, and that people think, Division One is better and Division Two is worse. And whilst I would agree that the Power Five conferences are very tough to compete with, at the Division Two level, we offer scholarships, we have very, very competitive facilities and programming, and we take tennis seriously. So I think that the program there with the USTA is going to be a big help to us in recruiting and having us, giving us some exposure at the tournaments, whilst also getting these kids and these junior level tournament players all the information they need and the exposure to all the opportunity that they have out there. There's a lot of colleges and universities offering competitive tennis programs, and when I speak to recruits, I'm always talking about you've got to find the right fit for you. For somebody that might be a very big school with 20,000 students. That for some other people, that might be a smaller school, and they must have the opportunity to explore those options in order to find the best fit for themselves personally.
I couldn't agree more, and I think it's important for us, and I've been trying to do my share in that there. I write a couple articles every issue for Florida Tennis Magazine, who has been working very hard. Like I said, I think they cover the whole spectrum of tennis, but they understand that the future of tennis is in high school now, and they're trying to help get that going. But the article I wrote in this issue of April-May issue of Florida Tennis Magazine talks about my opinion on where parents and players should be looking at. And of course, one of the things I talk about in the article is taking advantage of college and what the percentage of people are so small going into the pros that are successful. It's so hard to make a living there, and at least if you have a college education and you don't, become one of those top 100, and if you're not one of the top 100, you played on the pro tour for a while, so you know what it is. At least you have an education, you have something to go to, and it might be like in your case, Tom, where you went to coaching a college and helping other people now.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. You hit the nail on the head right there. And when I'm talking to the juniors, a lot of the time, at 16, 17, they still have aspirations to play professional tennis. And we by no means want to squash their we train them to maximize their potential so they have the best shot of doing that. But in reality, like you say, if you're not top 100, maybe top 150, or have a lot of financial backing, you're not making any profit, so whilst you're playing professional tennis, you're really struggling financially. So for these kids to be able to come in at 18, get 4 years of high-level performance training in college, get an education, mature into adulthood, and then push on to the pro tour, that is becoming the done thing in our days. And while we are not producing, top 200 or 300 players, I like to think that even at our level, we're capable of producing players that are able to go out in the 15 and 20K tournaments and get a couple of ATP points. But at the end of the day, you know, and you see it in the men's professional game at the moment, the age that these players are beginning to peak is late 20s as opposed to early 20s, high teens, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And I think that college tennis is going to be a big factor in that moving forward as well.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and this is a timely conversation because the people reading my article, I think you'll see that I'm not the only one with that opinion, and I thank you for your comments. And I think you coach men and women, and I do believe there is a gender difference, and part of that gender difference is, you know, physical, and I think on the women's side especially, you know, many people just aren't physically ready. And I know when I went through the high-performance coaching program at that time, I can't remember her name now, but she was the head on the women's side. This is what you have to look forward to when you get old, Tom. You talk to Dominic. He could help you with it, although he's not as old as me. But she talked about, you know, taking the girls into college because they're just, a lot of them just ain't physically ready to play there. And now you're seeing, you know, the women in the same way in their late 20s. I mean, I think the women tour is just blossoming now with people into their early 30s playing on the WTA and in their late 20s.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've got to be very, very conscious of the age and the training age of the people that you're working with, whether it's our under 10s in the summer who are trying to teach them fundamentals, have fun, help them fall in love with the game. And then when you start looking at the older teenagers on the men's and the women's side, you know, at 18, you're still relatively young. And 4 years of college tennis is going to help you mature physically and emotionally, so that when you go out on the tour or, you know, you progress after college, you have a better understanding of the game, your strengths and weaknesses. And that's one of the big things we talk about here is kind of the emotional intelligence of our tennis players maturing over their time with us. But yeah, I think we're seeing later maturation processes across the board as people learn about their games, that the science begins to, you know, continues to improve on both spectrums as well.
Well said, well said. Everybody has their own bias, and I'm no different. And of course, I believe, and I have conversations with the USTA about, and I think the USTA does a great job. I've spent 8 years on the board of directors in Florida, and I'll have the high-performance people coming on our show in April and May. I talk about it, but one of the things that we have a disagreement with is I do believe that if our pool is bigger, we're going to have a better chance of coming out with the great, great players. And I don't know if we're taking advantage of the high school pool. So that's my own bias there. But I love what you're doing on the 10 and under, and bringing, introducing the young people into the game. And I love the idea of talking to Dominic on the phone not too long ago. I was talking about sitting there, you know, doing the proper training. One of my disagreements a few years ago, not too long ago, truthfully, was that the USTA position was that the 10 and under was just to have them come in and have fun and play and get all the parents involved, and we do need parents involved. And I always kid when we get the new people in, did you read the fine print on the agreement? We want you involved. But the truth of the matter is, this is the time to start teaching the people the biomechanics of the stroke. This is the time to start, if you're a Dan Coyle believer, believer like I am to start wrapping that myelin around the neurons and developing what we used to call muscle memory, which it isn't, we all know now, in that 10,000 hours. And that's a great teaching opportunity. And when you get your high school teams, like I've been blessed to do over the years, coming in and volunteering and working with those kids, they're actually enforcing their own skills. And this is something that you're doing. Would you like to agree or disagree with me?
Yeah, I think it's important, really, to have a mixture. You know, this conversation parlays nicely into Coach Dominic's Canananda program that he's been running for 15 years. And, you know, getting back to the comment you made about the importance of having a large pool of juniors and kids that are playing tennis from which to develop the really elite players. And the city of Springfield here in Illinois actually has a great group of high school coaches. I think they're all no-cut coaches, and a lot of the high schools here, of which there's five or six in one town, have high school tennis of varsity and JV rosters of 30 or so kids. So there's a good pool here in this city from which to build, and the way that we're trying to develop success here is, first of all, getting all the coaches working on the same page, because nobody is in it for themselves. It needs to be for the players and for the betterment of the sport of tennis. But from the youngsters, Coach Dominic here, he does not charge a penny for his 10 and under program throughout the summer. It's free for all 10 and under, specifically or especially for those kids that might be from a low income or maybe a disadvantaged background. And so he gets them in. They have a great time, and we have myself and a couple of other coaches on staff there that, hey, if they're having fun and we see some talent, okay, we can start making groups in which to develop some basic technique and, you know, depending on the talent level, really start working pretty quickly on developing some positive habits for that future.
Very good. Can I ask you just to clarify something? And when you say, Sure. Is there no charge at all to the players? Like in my wife's District 15 NJTL, you know, it's been the same charge for almost 20 years. She's never raised it at very low. And quite frankly, the people that can't afford it, they're given scholarships. And the coaches, no, you know, we're not paid. We volunteer our time, but there's expenses. How do you cover the expenses and everything? And, you know, I'm assuming you're giving T-shirts like we do and stuff like that. So is there or is there not a charge to the individuals attending that? Maybe Dominic can talk about that.
Yeah, I'll send it over to Dom. He's been the man in charge for about 15 years here, so he's the one.
I'm glad you mentioned T-shirts because that was about the only thing we were charging for, $5. But the last couple of years, I also run a small business, and I'm capable of supporting this program. The cost of the program runs about $1,500, say $1,000 to $1,500 per year, and I have no trouble picking that up. About 4 or 5 years ago, and I did mention in my information to you that we operate out of a small village called Southern View, and we're registered with the state of Illinois as a nonprofit organization. But anyway, getting back to what we charge, we never did really charge because we always felt that we didn't want to turn anyone away. In fact, we have rackets and we provide tennis rackets to those that don't have rackets. Some kids even come in without shoes, but we don't go that far. We don't mind providing the T-shirt and the tennis racket, but you know what I'm saying. We can't provide everything. The young ladies that help me are top tennis players in the area. I used to do all the teaching myself, but now I draw upon the talent in the area. Like Tom said, there's a lot of good tennis talent locally, and we're fortunate to have the top tennis player, two young ladies, in fact, one now plays for a college just west of Springfield. She was with me for about 4, maybe 5 years. And the present young lady is the top tennis player just a little way south of Springfield. And she will be a senior, I believe, this year. And so, again, we don't charge. We try to cater to those youngsters that really want to play. And we don't want to turn anybody away. We just want to teach them the joys of tennis. It's a lifetime sport as we understand it. And the other thing I want to say is I have a large cadre of grandchildren. And every one of them went through my teaching, whether they play baseball now or tennis has helped them immensely. I don't want to wander too much from our theme, but that's kind of where we stand today.
Well, you also have a couple of, you have a daughter, one daughter, I remember, that you had playing down here in Florida at a tournament. God, I'm trying to remember where.
I did forget to mention my four daughters. They all played, actually three played Division One, and one played Division Two. Now that goes to Division One, so you can maybe say they all played Division One tennis.
And one of them, I remember, God, it must be 10 or more years ago, did well at one of our Florida, I think it was at a Wilson event, wasn't it?
In Pensacola, I brought her down for a tryout, and I can't remember the North Florida, or Florida West, is it, in Pensacola? Skeeter Carson, was that his name? Do you remember?
You know, I'm not sure.
The name does. Yeah, the name that comes is Skeeter Carson. We had the good fortune of going to a number of NAI national tournaments, and I met Skeeter there, and we got to know each other quite well, and we would make our family trips to Pensacola, and I ended up taking one of my daughters down for a tryout. She didn't make it there, but she did make it at Memphis State, so it all turned out real well.
Well, I think it's important what you're doing, and like I said, it's close to my heart because you know, my wife runs a similar type program, and she has for the last 20 years, and you know, we're in a different community than you are, but I mean, it's I think at that age and using the red and the orange and green balls, it's so important in the development of the kids and developing the players. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know where our high school program would have been without it, because that was the main place of learning tennis and what she was doing. And, of course, during our training of the high school coaches for a few years, I've one of my sessions, on-court sessions, is the use of the multi-colored ten and under balls in your training of the high school teams. I asked a question some 8 or 9 years ago, and you would remember, a lot of people don't realize that those balls cost a lot more than the regular balls, and a lot of people were saying, well, can I afford them? And my question was, can you afford not to use them? And today, with the prices coming down, you know, I think they're accepted all over. But I think, and you were a high school coach, and of course, they, you know, we didn't have that when you were coaching it, but do you see the value of them with a high school, you know, coaching a high school team?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the high school kids go, I think, you know, a lot of these guys are coming in, and if they haven't played a lot of tennis before, you know, they're still going to be 30, you know, 14 or so years old. So I think, I mean, just from my point of view, the regular yellow balls are going to be fine. But I wouldn't, you know, I would be interested to see the effect of training maybe some of the JV players on the green dots. A little bit slower, a little easier to deal with. You know, but they're going to be on full court. you know, definitely with our 10, 11-year-olds and unders, we're all about using the right colored ball. So that's a very interesting question you present there about perhaps whether or not they could be at an older level as well.
Well, I think it, one of the things, I've been a fan of Coach Chuck Creasy, the Clemson coach. He's now at Citadel. And one of the drills that he used, using the 60-foot court, and quite frankly, when I started the drills, I wasn't capable enough to hit with the top players no more. And that is to sit there and use the green dot ball on the 60-foot court. And if you knew the war law, directionals, the idea was to get 10, he talks about getting 12 balls in at the college level. I was happy to be able to get 10 balls back and forth, you know, in that 10 seconds. Has to be a cooperative drill, but it's a, you know, it's a power drill. What I did see, it was an obvious use of the green dot ball. But I was always a big believer of playing with, being part of the team. Somebody says, Tom Rees is on the team, and people say, oh, you played with Tom. And I say, oh, yeah, matter of fact, I played with him the other day. Well, I used to, up until I stopped, and I still teach it, use the rotation of balls. So you want everybody, you know, people want to do the same drills, but let's face it, 85% of your team can't do that drill. So what do? You yep. sit there and you use the orange ball there. And then if you're running, you talked about a no-cut program and how popular they are there. If you're running that, you're probably going to use the red ball in some of those courts. So maybe the next time you have your program in Illinois, I'd like to come up there and try to sell the idea, because I think building up the levels, there's a use of all those balls, especially in the high school. And I know some colleges that, use it too. And I think, it's a good tool.
Yeah, I think you could be on to something there. I can definitely see it being effective at the JV level, where these kids haven't got as much exposure and they're not able to complete the drills because, you know, there might be one or two high school coaches between 30 kids, and you don't want to spend the whole time trying to instruct the lower level players, so maybe giving them a softer ball will help them in drills. You know, I think the only thing that springs to mind is whether or not the 13, 14, 15-year-olds would think they were too cool to use the red balls, but I think you can get over that pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's no question. I think some drills, if you're going to use, Chuck Reese's directional drills with, there's still a lot of colleges using it, not as many high schools, but I think we have quite a few of them in Florida using that. Tom, you would be able to sit there and hit what your top players doing that drill. Truthfully, it's been many years since I could do it, and of course, you can't hit slice. It's just a power drill. You have to understand the war law theory to do the drill, but you hitting 12 balls back and forth in 10 seconds, now you're getting into the power game. And,
yeah.
I just don't know how many. I recognize when I was introduced to that drill, I don't know how many years ago, I fell in love with it because, even when I used it with the only person that was allowed to cheat and hit slice was Coach, because, I wasn't quick enough to move and get to the balls.
Let's talk about,
I have a question for Tom, if he's still there. I just left coaching the local high school team a year ago. Last year, I still spent time with them. Like Dominic, I'm a volunteer. I think I'm the volunteer tennis director, whatever my title is there. But, Tom, you come into and you sit there and replace, like you said, a Hall of Famer in there. But, you have to be your own man, and you have to sit there and get your philosophy out and what you want. Can you talk to us a little bit about last year, how that was and what you did? And I'm sure it's easier this year. But would you like to talk a little bit about that? Because I always tell the high school coaches, don't be afraid to make mistakes. And you can't be like me, because what works for me might not work for you.
Yeah, definitely. It's an exciting process for me, but I still have to keep my level head on my shoulders, and that I'm still, my coaching philosophy is never going to be a finished product. I want to keep learning, and I'm lucky that I have a couple of great mentors in the college coaching game, and Lisa Gregory, who was my coach at Asheville, and she's a Hall of Famer at Miami and Florida State, Kent Norsworthy at North Georgia, their top 20 Division II in the country. Paul Thompson was the coach at Drake. So I've had great mentors that have really helped me define my philosophy. And it's based around controlling everything that's within your internal environment to the best of your ability. And in college, that might mean, that might mean taking care of school and getting your grades as high as you can, managing your time. But when you talk in tennis specific, that's all the small things that you can control on a daily basis, from attitude to honesty, accountability, responsibility. And those are the kind of values that over the last 18 months I've been trying to instill in this group of players. We have about 50-50 as far as players that are recruited by myself and players that were here under the previous coach. And the biggest challenge is getting everybody on board, but we're really doing a good job. We encourage our team to be a family and to be a good representation of their family, to understand that it's bigger than just themselves. They're part of a team, they're part of a university, and doing their best to control everything they can control. High energy, high intensity, being positive, being a good teammate, looking for leadership opportunities. And this year, I think the men's both programs actually are looking to have their first winning record in about 5 or 6 years since turning to Division II. And I think that will be a big hump for them to get over, so that we, before I came here, there was a little bit of hope. They hoped to win. Now we're more expectant. We're expecting to be able to compete and win. And I think getting a winning record there will allow recruits coming in to see that's possible, and to rebuild the traditions of success that were here when Coach Don was here in mid-early 2000s.
Well, I tell you, Tom, if I had a young son or daughter looking to go play college, it sounds like you're doing the type of program I'd want my son or daughter to be going to. Would you like to just tell the audience a little bit about what your expectations are as far as grades, how this contact you, what you're looking for as far as recruitment?
Sure. At the moment, it's very simple, Coach Denise. We are looking for kids that are hungry. That is our big word, hungry to work hard for 4 years, hungry to help me build a traditional successful program, hungry to develop as leaders on and off the court. So I'm really looking for those kids to put themselves out there. They've done school and tennis, but they've done extracurricular things, been involved with the community. As far as level goes, right now, if you're looking at the women's game, we're looking at, around an 8, UTR is something that we're looking for. 8 or 9 would be high. And on the men's side, we're looking around 11 on the UTR, maybe a 12 here and there. And we have been able to get a few recruits in from the southeast. We have a few girls from Georgia and a guy from the southeast as well. Florida is a market that I would love to be able to get in and recruit at, but the biggest obstacle, we have the weather difference, which is something I understand, but we are definitely looking for kids from all over the country, you know, and as long as they're hungry and they're ready to be successful, you know, we're all about it. So we, you know, I work 24/7 to better this program. And so if there are people, parents listening that want to know more about the program, I would just head to our website, which is uisprairiestyles.com, and all my contact info is on there.
Very, very good. You mentioned the UTR ranking before. It's been something that we've been pushing and hoping to get our state, the FHSAA, involved with high school. As you know, I'm sure Dominic knows, most of the high school players do not play USTA ranking. Would you like, can you tell me something about why you mentioned that rather than a USTA ranking?
Sure. I think you know, and it varies by player. Right now, like we're very well versed in some of the Midwest states as far as how those USTA rankings stack up to what we're looking at. But when we start recruiting further afield, be it different regions of the United States, different countries and different continents, the UTR is gaining momentum and it's pretty reliable and just kind of giving us an overall comparison. Of course, we don't base things solely on UTR and rankings. We like to get out there and watch the kids play. But it does what it says on the tin. You know, it's universal, so it allows us a worldwide and a nationwide comparison tool that we can use in our recruiting efforts.
Very good. Yeah, it makes so much sense. It really does. Dominic, would you like to have any closing remarks that you'd like to talk about in the 10 and under program? Do you agree with my philosophy that, you know, this is a great time to start making sure the training is proper? Fun is important. There's no two ways about it. We have to hook the players on tennis and hope they fall in love with it and before they learn how hard it really is. But is it just about having fun, or is it about having developing an expertise as soon as possible?
I think you're right. One of our goals is to teach the kids how to play tennis. Of course, the other goal is to have fun. But one of the things that we do try to encourage them with is to and we only meet 2 days a week, 2 months out of the year. I could go a lot of different directions, but let me just say that during the summer, we try to encourage our students, our tennis kids, to qualify and to play a USTA tournament at the local park. And several of them every year do reach that height. Some of them come in not even having a tennis racket. After a few weeks, I don't want to brag about it, but it's amazing that they pick it up so fast. Maybe they're natural athletes, and they can actually play in a tournament, and then that makes us feel that all we've done is really worthwhile. The other thing I want to mention is that we're trying to move our program from the little village of Southern View over to the University of Illinois Springfield. And we are going to try that this year for the first time. What we'll have then is a full week of tennis, 2 days at Southern View, 2 weeks at the university, and eventually maybe some indoor tennis. So we have great plans. This program is limped along, but now parents are asking for more, and that's what we're trying to do, is give them more on the teaching level and more court and more time on court. Does that sound reasonable?
It certainly does sound reasonable, and I love the idea that working together, you know, with the college coaches. I think that, you know, I think the people there are blessed to have the two of you working to develop the kids the way you do, and I think it's so important. And you understand the rewards. You see it. I mean, sometimes I get asked, why are you still doing this? Well, when you meet these kids later on, and they're young adults, and of course they're bringing their children to you. It's you can't get paid enough, you know, for that. There, I would this year. I have my agenda for our October workshop, our training of our high school coaches, just about put together. But, Tom, I would love for you to stay in touch because, and I'd like to know, you know, what happens with the two of you, with the 10 and under program, because I think it would be somebody I'd like to have as one of our presenters at our workshop this October. Like I said, I've been blessed over the years to have outstanding speakers from across the country, and I think I'd like to get to know you more. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year we can get you down here in Florida.
Yes, as you know, I have a son that owns a residence in Vero Beach, and we will be coming to Vero Beach more often. In fact, my son Nick is down in Vero Beach right now this whole week, and we usually come down around the end of the year, but maybe we can make a more than one trip. And I'll tell Tom. Tom had a walkout. We're at the racquetball club right now, and he's got a class that he has to teach, a tennis class. So he had to leave, but I will sure tell him about this program and that you want him to participate in. So do send us some emails, call me, and we will get together and try to help out.
Okay. Well, like I tell everybody else, stay abreast of our website and our social media. It's all the same, FHSTCA.org. Last year, a half a dozen or more than a half a dozen times, we had college coaches from across the country asking us to, you know, let them know they had a space open for a girl or a space open for a boy, and they had scholarship money available or grant and aid money available. And we sit there and share that with our audience. So we want to we have our own bias, too. We wanted to get our high school kids into colleges. And when if you're willing to provide that information to us, you know, with your email address and with the contact information, you can bet your life we're going to share it on our social media.
That sounds very good. You can also reach me at uis.edu. And if you send information there, I'm listed there as a assistant coach. Actually, I'm a volunteer coach with Tom. I don't get out there too much, but just enough to, like you said before, once you're into tennis, it's hard to leave tennis. I've been in it for about some 30, 35 years. It's a long time. I also want to mention Coach Manny Belasco, who was the men's coach. I was the women's coach, and Manny was the men's coach. So he's another great resource. He spends a lot of time in Miami during the wintertime, and I'd like to get him on the program as well. You'd get a big kick out of listening to Manny.
Well, good. Let him give him my information. I think I'm booked up with guests until the 1st of May right now, you know, by all means, give them our information and we go. Matter of fact, I'm just looking. I'm actually booked up to June 2nd. I have Ingi Boberman, the North Florida coach, on that day. Andy Brandy of the High Performance Coaching on May 26th. Dan Santorum, the PTR executive director, on May 12th. David Burns on the 19th. Mike Kypris, who is a Florida high school coach and also the Florida representative on the National High School Coaches Association, on May 5th. Chuck Creasy will be on the show on April 28th. Paul Lober's will be on May 21st. He runs the high performance coaching educational process. He amazes me every year. I go back for continuing education, and it just gets better and better. And then on the 14th, we're hoping to have the coaches for our All-Star Tournament, because we on the 23rd, we'll be having our fifth annual All-Star event. And in Florida, you have to be a high school senior to be in an All-Star event. So we have an event for them, and hopefully we'll have some of those players on, and the coaches, and the tournament director, Terry Cunningham, will be running that at the Winter Park Tennis Center. So it's an exciting time, and we have, I think we have some exciting show coming up. I would be remiss if I didn't remind everybody, Wilson will again be in October during our workshop. We'll be presenting the four Coach of the Year awards in the 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A divisions. I tell you often, if you're not happy with your coach, don't talk to him during the game or her during the game or during practice. You know, set up an appointment, talk to him, express your grief. If you're not satisfied, go to the athletic director. But if it's the case, like most of the time, you're really excited about your high school coach and you're happy what they're doing, for God's sakes, please nominate them for the High School Coach of the Year Award. If you go to our website, www.fhstca.org, and go to the resource page until Wilson, you'll see where you can get their product, but you'll also see the Coach of the Year nomination there. So by all means, nominate the coach for Coach of the Year. Same thing if you have somebody, for instance, if Dominic was in our community, what he's doing there, I would be nominating him for the Community Service Award, because the high school programs are not just built, you know, they go up and down, but the consistent programs are the one where the community's involved. And what you're doing, getting the community involved, those are the organizations in Florida that Dean Street Insurance presents the Community Service Award. So if you have somebody that's supporting the high school in your community, by all means, go out there and nominate them for the Community Service Award, because we wanted, at the October workshop, it isn't just about 3 days of training the high school tennis coaches. It's a celebration of what we're doing. It's our annual meeting for the FHSTCA. We'd be electing new officers and everything again, but get involved in it. Get involved not just in the radio show, tell all your friends about, but also get involved with the website and with the our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram pages, because all the information that we have and all the value that we have, if your players and your parents are not looking at it, it isn't doing a lot of good. I admit to making a mistake years ago when I started the organization. I gave it the wrong name, the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, because that's what we are. But we're more than that. We're for the parents. Go out and look at this issue of Florida Tennis Magazine. If somebody takes it from the club, remember, you can always go online and you read the last issue online with us. Or you can read my articles on the website anytime you want to. So please tell your friends that we want to talk with them last week. We thank our guests for generously giving us a good show today. Please enjoy the blessings of the week, and I look forward to talking with you again next week. Have a blessed week, and we will talk again next week. Bye now. Yeah, I did.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't.